Welcome to Criminal AF. For those of you joining the show for the first time, you're about to be introduced to a couple of somewhat funny guys from Connecticut who love to talk about true crime and have some fun doing it. While Criminal AF is best described as a comedic informative true crime podcast, there will be detailed descriptions of murder, rape, torture, and any other crime that would haunt you in your sleep. Criminal AF is made by adults for adults, so there will be adult conversations and there will be vulgar language.
Like fuck.
You know, the way most adults speak. The intention of Criminal AF is to keep the atmosphere light, fun, and inclusive, but they will not withhold any information, regardless of how brutal, disgusting, or gut-wrenching it may be. Now, it's understandable that Criminal AF is not for everyone, which is okay, but it's asked that you at least give it a listen. If it's not for you, well, thanks for checking it out.
See ya.
But if it is...
Welcome to the debauchery.
Merry Christmas!
Ho, ho, ho,
and
ho.
And a happy new year.
In this episode, we'll be going over a year in review of major events in the criminal world that occurred in 2023.
Over the full year.
I'm Dave Jari.
I'm Garrett Corder.
And this is Criminal As Fuck. What's good, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Criminal As Fuck. Once again, I'm Dave Jari, the clitoris cannibal, and with me, as always, is my co-host, the noish necrophiliac, Garrett Corder.
Ho, ho, ho. How you doing?
Let's say what's up to the sponsor of this show, Factor Meals. Factor helps you fuel up fast for breakfast, lunch, and dinner with chef-prepared, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time, eat well, and stay on track with your healthy lifestyle. And these are just a few reasons why Factor is America's number one
ready-to-eat meal delivery service.
So stay tuned to learn how you can save big on your first month of Factor.
Huge.
It's huge.
Huge.
We got to give a shout-out to Corey Cribbs for joining our fucked-up family. So thank you very much, Corey.
Thank you, Corey.
Some quick notes before we go over the housekeeping items. Just stay tuned after the main story for another edition of Dear Douchebags, where Garrett and I offer advice to your current problems for free. And since it's free, it will be the worst advice you ever get.
It's shitty.
Yeah, but we're going to give it anyway. So be sure to hang out with us after the main story. Now head on over to criminalasfuck.com for all of your Criminal AF needs. Check out our episodes, videos, Patreon reviews, and of course, our
merch. Go get you some merch.
We're adding new styles and designs all the time, and we're even branching out to some other stuff other than just Criminal AF gear.
It's full drop shipping over
here. Oh, yeah, full.
Gen Z millionaires over here.
Yeah. So go check that out on our website or go directly to criminalafshop.com. You can also visit all of our friends over at welcometothedebauchery.com, where you can find a plethora of independent podcasts joining together to create a beautiful podcast world. We have ourselves, Fright Flick, FMK, True Crime University, and the list goes on.
A symphony of podcasts.
So go show some love over at welcometothedebauchery.com. And here's Debbie with a little message from True Crime University.
So you like to listen to people talk about crime, but did you ever wonder why criminals do the things they do? Like what makes them tick? My name is Debbie, and I'm the professor at True Crime University. Join me in the classroom Thursdays, wherever you get your podcasts, for intellectual discussions about crime, psychology, and why criminals do what they do. See you there.
Finally, if there's one thing that we ask of you is that you go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Good Pods, and leave us a 5-star rating, a positive review.
Love those reviews, baby.
And click the share button. It costs you absolutely zilch, and it'll help us immensely in spreading the word that Criminal AF is the
number one true crime podcast in the world.
All right, Dave, let's go to Florida.
Yeehaw!
Actually, guys, this Florida man, I will be reading fresh with you because I haven't read it yet. Ooh. Dave actually sent this to me. So this is Dave's Florida man, and it's actually a Florida girl?
It's a Florida family.
It's a Florida family.
I didn't really read.
Oh, so we're all. This is all new.
Shout out to Heather Carcitti.
Heather Carcitti.
Her husband Mike and I. We've known each other since I was like 4 years old. Heather, I've known since high school, and she actually sent this to me. I glanced at the first few things.
I glanced at it too, and I was like, "Oh, this is perfect for the end of the year."
All I saw was what was happening, like the main part of the story, and I was like, "All right, I gotta send this to Garrett. I gotta wait."
All right, breaking news. Argument over Christmas gifts turned deadly as a 14-year-old kills his older sister. Deputies say. A Florida woman holding her 11-month-old son in a baby carrier was fatally shot by her 14-year-old brother while trying to defuse an argument over Christmas gifts he was having with a 15-year-old brother who was also armed.
A 14-year-old was armed.
So, whoa.
And a 15-year-old.
Wait, let me read this right. So a 14-year-old was carrying a gun.
Was arguing over Christmas gifts.
Arguing with a 15-year-old brother who was also armed. Yeah. So what are we doing? We're just hanging out, opening presents with fucking...
You got your piece.
What in the fucking Wild West is this shit? Right. It sounds like a Quentin Tarantino movie.
Thanks for the Xbox, Mom. Pew, 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 pew,
pew, pew. So that's so sad, though, that the Florida woman holding the 11-month-old son died.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
That is horrible.
The 15-year-old brother then shot his 14-year-old brother, though not fatally, for killing their sister on Sunday in Largo, Florida, which is located in the Tampa metro area.
Merry fucking Christmas.
The argument over gifts started while the three siblings were Christmas shopping with their mother and the sister's two sons, ages 6 and 11 months. Ugh. It continued when they went to their grandmother's house, where the sister, 23, told the younger brother to stop arguing with his older brother since it was Christmas Eve.
Makes sense.
Yeah. The younger brother then told his sister he was going to shoot her and her infant.
Whoa, what the fuck?
And then he shot her in the chest.
Get the fuck out.
What the fuck? This, like, what? The older brother, and you guys thought, like, an argument with your dad talking about fucking Trump was the worst thing you could happen on. Please, can Uncle Billy not bring up fucking blood drinking and shit? the fucking Illuminati blood drinkers. The
fucking Pizzagate.
And these guys are shooting each other over Christmas gifts. The older brother then shot his old younger brother outside the home because of what he had done. I'm not gonna side with somebody who kills somebody, but that dude is a little piece of shit.
Yeah.
All right, he shot him outside the home because of what he had done to their sister, tossing his firearm in a nearby yard. Authorities said he was taken to a mental health facility. After he was located since he had threatened to harm himself. Once he is released from the mental health facility, he was taken to juvenile detention center, the news release said. The 14-year-old brother was charged with first-degree murder, the child abuse, and for possessing a firearm as a delinquent.
Wow.
His 15-year-old brother was charged with attempted first-degree murder and tampering with evidence, the sheriff's office said. Hey, look at the house. I'm going to tell you right now, out of all the Florida men that we have done, if you make me close my eyes and say, hey,
what does this house look like?
What does their house look like? Ladies and gentlemen, if you're watching on video, that right there is the perfect example that was in my head.
I'm going to crop that picture and post it on Instagram.
Add it to the Instagram. Yeah.
They got top-notch lawn furniture.
Yeah. We have three different types of plastic chairs. not just three plastic chairs. Right. Three different types
of plastic chairs. Take your pick. There's a plethora.
A quilt.
There's a plethora.
And two charcoal grills.
Yep. And something to put your feet on that you use as a chair.
That is actually wild, though. It's literally like the Spider-Man meme on Christmas morning.
All right. Hear me out. If I'm a judge or an attorney or whatever for the state of Florida, I'm 100% charging the 14-year-old as an adult. First-degree murder.
For sure.
Child abuse. Everything that he's getting charged for. The 15-year-old.
She was holding the baby, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah. What is it? Child abuse.
You got to do attempted murder on a child. I'm throwing the fucking book at this dude. Oh, yeah. Throw
the book at. The 15-year-old. Self-defense. I might give him a gun charge because he's 15.
Yeah. Everybody in here has gun. What's going on?
It's like that Spider-Man meme.
Yeah.
Everybody's holding up their fucking guns.
Jesus Christ. That's what I said. It's like a Quentin Tarantino movie, dude.
Oh my God.
The end of Hateful Eight, if anybody's ever seen that movie.
A lot of people are going to bring up, well, you know, in Florida, you can get a gun and all this other kind of shit.
Bro.
Dude, there's nobody.
It's Christmas morning with your family.
There's nobody. There's no state in the United States that would sell I don't care what your gun laws are. There's no state in the United States that will sell your gun, sell a gun to a 14-year-old and a 15-year-old.
No.
Okay? So no. Where do they get those guns? You got to know a guy who knows a guy out of the back of his trunk or, in his car.
Yeah, but you never know. This,
you know what
could,
I mean?
They could be the uncle's guns and shit like that. Like, this family.
Well,
come on,
yeah. Well, I'm just saying. You know what I mean? Like, there's no gun laws that are going to fucking prevent this.
No.
None. No, zero. Yeah, no, and this is the, like the problem in the fucking United States.
Yeah.
But anyway.
People want to harp on gun laws, yeah. But.
15-year-old,
it doesn't matter.
15-year-old, I'll give him.
When Uncle Jerry has 17 guns in his house.
And they're all unlocked.
And you just go and grab one.
Yeah, they're just laying next to the fucking the lawn chair.
It's a people problem.
The plastic lawn chair, he's got a fucking shotgun. 15-year-old, I'd give him a gun charge. Yeah, you got to give him something, you know what I mean? 15-year-old a gun. Give him a gun charge, but, it was self-defense. He was defending his sister.
I'm not mad at him.
I'm not mad at the 15-year-old.
The 14-year-old, he clearly has some sort of mental health problems going on, something. Something's there, because to get so worked up for your sister to tell you to calm down.
Right, calm down. No, bitch.
I'm gonna shoot you.
Yeah,
and your kid.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
God, you're damn, dead. Dave.
And fuck your baby too.
Well, this was a great Florida man, because this is a wild Christmas, and like I said, some people complain that they have to sit there.
Uncle Jerry brings up fucking. Epstein Island.
Yeah.
I don't want to see the fucking plane records.
The elites. Yeah. They're turning the frogs gay.
They're building bunkers. 2024.
But, hey, just be happy that you don't have gun-toting 14 and 15-year-olds at your
imagine that Christmas. Shit. That's fucking wild.
Yeah.
Well.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. I know we like to usually have fun with this Florida man shit, but this is
It's just a fucked up situation. Yeah. Like, if you look at the home, you look at I just know I can smell the house. Dude.
Yeah.
I can literally smell the inside of that house.
Right.
Like, smells like Dutch guts and. Oh, I'm smelling it right now. It smells like Dutch guts and like burnt plastic. From the crack pipe.
Don't forget the
mothballs. Or the Brillo pads. Burnt Brillo pads and fucking Dutch guts.
And don't forget the mothballs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's got to be mothballs in there somewhere.
For sure. And that smelly oil smell, you know, like after you cook and you leave the oil out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That oil, like that, you know what I mean? When you walk into a kitchen that's been cooked in
And
just left, shit's been left out. Yeah. That.
Wait, you don't save your bacon grease?
No, I don't save my bacon grease.
You don't save your bacon grease?
No, you know what you do? It's actually a very helpful hook. You take an old.
Hold on. Now everybody to go on Instagram or something or email us or whatever. Dave at criminalaf.llc, Garrett at criminalaf.llc.
Comment on Instagram wherever.
Let us know if you save your bacon grease.
That's weird.
And if you have a crazier story than this fucking Florida man, because this is fucking wild.
Yeah. All right. Give us your Christmas story opening.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee you it doesn't beat this one.
I like to share it on the next episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let us know your fucking crazy Christmas. But anyway. All right. Go ahead. What?
No, I was going to say you take a Folgers, the old, after you finish a coffee,
tin. Yeah, yeah.
Put the oil right in there, cap it, get it nice and full.
Wait, are you talking about oil? Or are you talking about
oil, like cooking oil?
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've known people,
yeah. Yeah, it's easy.
Like when you have like a fryer later or something,
you just
redo the Crisco. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Boom.
So, bacon grease. Okay, this is what I do. You make bacon. You let this grease sit in the pan, let it cool down.
And it turns to that fatty,
No, not yet. Not yet. Okay. Just let it cool down.
Yep.
You dump the bacon grease into an ice cube tray.
Oh, my God.
Listen.
What kind of fucking white trash shit is
Dude,
this?
Dude, no. Listen to me. No, I'm going to change
now,
your fucking world.
Now your ice cube trays smell like fucking bacon, dude. You're going to drink water.
Just one. You're not doing
so you have a special bacon grease ice
tray? Actually, yeah. Listen, I learned this when I was doing keto back in the day. So you dump your bacon grease into the ice cube tray, right? And you put it in the freezer. Let it freeze. Whatever. All right? So it's sitting in the freezer. And then, like, let's say, I'm going to cook up a steak or I'm going to cook up some eggs or I'm going to do something, right? So instead of using, instead of oil in your pan.
Or putting butter.
Or putting butter or whatever, you pop out a fucking cube of bacon grease, let it melt down, cook up your eggs.
Actually, that's not a bad idea.
Dude, makes everything taste like bacon.
That's actually not a bad
everything. Idea. Yeah, so go ahead, mock me.
You changed my mind.
See, I told you I was gonna change your world.
That it does make sense, but the problem with me is to know that I have an ice cube tray full of bacon grease.
Dude, you can't go wrong with bacon grease.
I don't know.
Oh, it's so good.
I don't know if I could do it.
So good.
It is a smart idea. I would give you that.
Yeah. Anything you cook, you just throw a little cube of fucking bacon grease and now you got bacon flavored steak, bacon flavored chicken. Bacon flavored eggs.
You can't go wrong with bacon flavored eggs.
Yeah. So there you go. Try it at home and then thank me when you do it. All right. So, that was a fucked up Florida man.
Yeah.
So, in this episode, we'll be going over a year in review of major criminal events that occurred in 2023.
Was it a good year?
23?
Was it a good year?
Yeah.
For you?
Wasn't awful.
That's what I mean. It seems very mediocre.
Yeah. It wasn't like eventful. It wasn't. Let me tell you, 2020, COVID year, was a lot more eventful for me than 2023.
For sure.
Yeah.
I love 2020.
2020.
I bought my house. My first house. I did a lot in 2020.
2020, like the first few months of COVID when everybody was like, you're going to die, you know?
Yeah. Oh, it was fun.
Yeah.
I was staying at home. I thought the world was going to end. It kind of excited me. Yeah. But I'm just saying, 2023 seemed, it just seemed, It just felt like normal, I floated by this year.
It was just a year. A year and a life.
Yep.
Yeah, nothing major.
Kind of happy to see it go, to be honest with you.
Yeah. 2024 is going to be good.
You think so?
Yeah.
I like it.
I'm going to CrimeCon, Nashville, in May. Going to hit some Pigeon Forge. Going to hit the Crime Museum. Hatfield
Sir, can you please get out of Ted Bundy's car? Yeah. I just want to smell it.
I just want to smell the seats.
I just want to smell the seats.
I'm smelling the seats.
I can still smell her.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. Keep going. Go along with the episode. Come on.
So on the way back, I'm going to do CrimeCon in May. I'm going to hit Pigeon Forge on the way back. I'm going to hit the Crime Museum. I'm going to do the Hatfield McCoy restaurant there. Yep. You know, get my white trash on. Ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding. Dueling Banjos. Yep. Welcome to the main stage. Jimmy John and Jimmy B.
I'm going to hit Manassas.
Manassas.
Another battlefield. Bull Run, Antietam.
Bull Run would be amazing to go to.
And cap it all off with Gettysburg. Been to Gettysburg before. That was nice. And then head home. So 2024 is going to be a good year.
Criminal AF will be back after this quick break. This bustling holiday season, you might be looking for nutritious, flavorful meals to fuel you on jam-packed days. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal delivery service, can help you eat well for breakfast, lunch, and dinner with chef-prepared, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time and stay on track with your healthy lifestyle while tackling all of your holiday to-dos.
With Factor, you can rest assured you're making a sustainable choice. They offset 100% of their delivery emissions and source 100% renewable electricity for their production sites and offices.
They're green.
Green's the new wave, man.
All right. Now, Factor isn't just for dinner. Count on extra convenience at any time of day with an assortment of 55-plus add-ons to suit various preferences and tastes. Choose from quick breakfast items, lunch to go, grab and go snacks, and ready to drink cold pressed juices, shakes, and smoothies.
The other day, I was eating the vegan chili, okay. And I'm not even kidding. I looked at my wife and said, you know what? I could go vegan. And she laughed at me. But I'm telling you, at that moment, that vegan chili was so good. I was like, you know, I could give up meat.
I could do this vegan stuff.
Yeah. That's how, I'm telling you, they made me a believer out of vegetables. And it's not easy for anyone to do that to me.
Right. Well, you know, Garrett, and a lot of our listeners know as well, you know, I recently had gastric bypass surgery.
Yes.
And these Factor meals are perfect for my new lifestyle. The meals are actually large portions. You know, they're 10 to 12 ounces per meal. I actually split them up into two. Yep. So I can actually get two meals out of one and I'm set for the week. Like, I don't have to cook. I don't have to go shopping. I don't have to do anything. I just get my box, divvy it up, and I'm good to go. So if you've had a gastric bypass, or if you're thinking about going vegan like Garrett.
And ask them, what's in the cheese fondue? Because I'm telling you, I was blown away. The Chipotle pork chops cheese fondue. I'm telling you guys, go get it.
And you can get all of that by going to factormeals.com/criminalaf50 and use code criminalaf50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/criminalaf50 and use code criminalaf50 to get 50% off.
Factor,
America's number one ready-to-eat meal delivery service.
Now back to Criminal AF.
All right, so let's get into this episode. So everybody, you know, grab some snacks, pour your favorite drink.
If you're driving to work, you know, don't do that. Yeah. Drive.
But, you can tell your boss to go fucking pound sand.
Hey.
Because it's time to fuck this episode in the mouth. What is it? Oh, yeah. Complete with sound effects. All right, so let's begin this year in January, as it usually does. And the trial of Alex Murdaugh began.
Oh, big one. Off the rip.
Right off the rip. For the murders of his wife, Margaret, and his youngest son, Paul, back in June.
You know it's big if Netflix does a fucking gigantic documentary about it.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, they didn't waste any time. No. They were making that documentary.
No, yeah, they were making
a trial.
Yeah, it was crazy when that came out. Right. A couple of the last big crimes. Yeah. It was kind of eerie how they were fast like Netflix came out with documentaries.
Yeah, like as the trial's still going on, they're like, "Well,
episode one."
Yeah, the son killed fucking somebody, and then the other fucking son killed somebody, and he killed the fucking housekeeper, and it's like, where's all this fucking shit coming from?
Yeah, the Netflix like writers are behind the like a curtain. In the
ignore behind the curtain.
Yeah, don't worry. We're trying to make some little side cash.
All right, so so in conjunction with these murders. He was also indicted on more than 100 financial crimes. If you've been too caught up, you know, in the CIA documents proving that that they were involved in the assassination of JFK, and you missed this story, here's the cliff notes. So, Alex Murdo, which is true, you know, nobody talks about that. But I guess
that was confirmed, by the way.
And
confirmed.
Yeah, UFOs also. But anyway, that's another episode.
I love how we just don't give a fuck anymore about that.
What, UFOs?
If the shit that was coming out now about how we have no clue what the fuck's going on came out 20 years ago, everybody would be freaking out. But we're just so over it. We're like, yeah, duh.
And people are saying the reason that, you know, nobody's talking, you know, from governments or whatever, then the reason not talking about UFOs and aliens and stuff like that because the average citizen can't handle the truth. Dude. At this point, nothing is going to faze us.
Yeah, seriously.
Nothing.
You might as well just tell us.
Yeah. All right.
All right, go ahead. Sorry, we're
sidetracked here. So the cliff notes of this story are Alex Murdaugh is a piece of shit.
Pretty much.
A wealthy piece of shit, but a piece of shit nonetheless. All right, so we'll give you a brief history of the Murdaugh family. So Alex Murdaugh, his father, his grandfather, and his great-grandfather all served as prosecutors in the state of South Carolina.
Which is even crazier.
Right. So there's I don't want to go, you know, a little, I don't want to go there, but let's just say they have a stronghold of this fucking.
They're deep rooted in the criminal gang, you know what I mean? Yeah. In the criminal family.
They're deep rooted down there in South Carolina, if you know what I'm talking about, you know? So a long list of shady fuckery followed this family from generation to generation, and it really didn't seem like it was going to skip the next crop of Murdaughs because Alex's oldest son, Buster, has been speculated to have been involved in the 2015 death of Stephen Smith, an openly gay nursing student who Buster was alleged to have an ongoing affair with.
Which I think is true.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
It's speculated that Stephen was about to expose Buster for being gay, so Buster either killed him or had him killed. It's one of the two. He was involved. Allegedly, quote-unquote.
Allegedly.
Yeah, so again, this has not been proven, but there is an open investigation into this murder. I believe his body has been exhumed. Up to this point, and they are saying it is murder, where originally it was believed that he had had a problem with his car, like a flat tire or something, and somebody struck him.
Yeah.
You know? But he was on the other side of the road across from his car, whereas if you got hit by a car, you'd be down the fucking street.
Yes. And the way the road was set up, too, from my understanding, there was no possible way that the body would have flown that way from the way the car...
What is it? Physics? Yeah. The physics don't line up.
The physics don't line up of where his body was.
Right. So, Alex's youngest son, Paul, was involved in the boating death of Mallory Beach in 2021. Paul, who was underage, was heavily intoxicated when he crashed his family's boat, killing Mallory Beach and injuring others. Paul was not given a sobriety test, was not taken into custody, nor was he even handcuffed or questioned, leading to speculation that Paul was given preferred and special treatment because of who his family was.
Bro, you just need to be a fucking prosecutor's son. You can get away with anything.
So basically the story with that is while other people are freaking the fuck out, like, where's Mallory? What happened to Mallory? Nobody could find her, right? They were trying to get a hold of the police. They're calling 911. They're like, you know, help, we just crashed our boat. Paul, on the other hand, do you think he would call 911? No, he called Grandpa.
Yep.
Hey, granddaddy prosecutor guy.
Come and help me out of this.
Come and help me.
Yeah.
And the grandfather came in, told everybody, even the other kids, do not talk to the police. Here's an attorney for all of you. Yep. You know, it was like, oh, wow, he gave us an attorney. Oh, thank you. Because we're all underage and we're drinking. We need an attorney, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So now the attorney is, do not say a word, da 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 da, and he was never charged.
Crazy.
Yep, just a spirit. Now, he did face civil litigation, you know, obviously because it was his. And it's also said that Buster had given, the older brother, had given Paul his ID.
To buy the...
to so he can buy alcohol, and you know, he stopped at a bar and all this other kind of stuff. So he had an illegal ID, and Buster provided also the alcohol for them to drink that night.
Fantastic family.
Yeah. So Alex Murdo has also been implicated in the murder of his longtime housekeeper, Gloria Satterfield, in 2018. Originally ruled an accidental death, where he said that she tripped over the dogs and fell down the stairs.
Yep.
The case has been reopened, and as of November of this year, Alex Murdaugh has pled guilty to embezzling the insurance money from Gloria's death, which should have gone to her sons. So basically...
You know, like, wait, right when you think that this family could not get more...
Shady.
Diabolical.
Right.
They do something like... That's the worst of the worst right there.
So apparently he, as her employment, so apparently Gloria worked for him for like year, like decades, probably 20 something years as their housekeeper. Okay. As part of her employment, they gave her a life insurance policy, you know, for accidental whatever. So basically what they're saying is that Alex killed Gloria, and instead of making her children, which she thought her children would be the benefactors of her life insurance, it was actually him. So he collected all that money. I forget what it was, $250,000 or something.
It was under $500,000.
Yeah. It wasn't, So, yeah. So he admitted to embezzling the insurance money. As with Stephen, Gloria has also, her body has also been exhumed. And they're saying that she was murdered. So stay tuned for that. Now that we know some of that douchebaggery that has gone on in the Murdaugh family, the case we're talking about is the murder of Alex's wife and son. The motive of the murders was believed to have been the cover-up of Alex's embezzlement of millions of dollars that he gained from shady deals and from his own family business. He was feeling the heat of potentially getting caught, so he decided to create a distraction. And what better way to create a distraction than killing your fucking wife and your son? All right, we said he was rich. We never said he was smart.
Jesus Christ.
So immediately, he was a person of interest. And the nail in the coffin for him was that just minutes prior to their murders, his son Paul was Snapchatting right up until their murder. So, like, I think they were saying, like, up to the minute. Like, within a minute, he was... Because he killed the son first. He killed Paul first. Then the wife came over. What happened? And then he whapped her.
Yep.
So, yeah. So, within a minute of him ending his Snapchat, he was killed. And in this final Snapchat... you could hear Alex Murdaugh's voice in the background. And apparently he was like, I wasn't anywhere near there. I left.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
It's just funny that to think that, like, your son having a phone wouldn't know exactly, like, that he would bring out the phone and somewhat record the situation if something's getting weird.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. Kids nowadays are a little too smart for that.
I know. Yeah. So his voice is on the Snapchat. So again, that we say, he's rich, but not a fucking genius. So now when the heat of this murder case was amping up, Alex paid his cousin to kill him. Okay. And now if you've seen this cousin, this is like not an attorney cousin.
No.
This is like a cousin.
It's like a cousin that would live in that house that we did on Florida.
He was like, hey, I need a little fix. You know, I need a little meth fix. Can you hook me up? And he's like, yeah, kill me. I'll pay you $10,000. You know, he's like, okay. Fucking hitting the plate. All right, so paid his cousin to kill him to make it look like a random act of violence. And surprisingly, it was another broken down car on the side of a road situation.
Yep.
The reason he wanted to be killed is because he wanted Buster to receive his $10 million life insurance policy. But guess what? There's a couple of branches that are broken in this family tree because the cousin just injured Alex, leaving Alex to face the music of his embezzlement and the murders of Margaret and Paul.
Which he deserved.
Yeah. So when all is said and done, Murdaugh was convicted of over 100 charges of embezzlement, breach of trust, fraudulent intent, money laundering, wire fraud, computer crimes, and forgery. And on March 3rd, 2023, Alex Murdaugh was convicted in the murders of Margaret and Paul. For those crimes, he was sentenced the following day to two consecutive life sentences without the possibility of parole.
Good.
And now he has the Gloria case coming up.
Yep. I hope her family gets justice, too.
Yeah. Well, apparently, Buster. Buster is in charge of all the estate now. Basically, Alex Murdaugh signed off all the estate. So he's been selling off all the properties and collecting millions. And the family of Gloria and the family.
What a great person to be holding that estate, by the way.
I want to go drug on a boat. I'm going to sell my dad's shit.
Yeah. He's probably happy. That's what's crazy. They're almost like,
look at all the fucking money I get.
Yeah.
But hey, don't hold your breath on the money, because the family of Gloria, the family of Steven, and the family of Mallory
are all going for civil
are all going for that fucking money. Hell, and even some of the other kids that were in the boat that day are like, you know, you fucked us up. That's your fault.
Yep.
So now they're all trying to cash in on these fucking millions that Buster is now fucking collecting. Yeah, Buster needs to get fucking.
He won't get it.
No.
He won't give it to him. He will party his ass off, die somehow before any money is spent to them. That's the sad part about it.
All right, the next story is we have Victoria Nasiova. She was sentenced to 21 years in prison for attempting to kill her lookalike with poisoned cheesecake. Interesting. So on April 20th, 2023, in Queens, New York, Supreme Court, the justice there, Kenneth Holder, sentenced Victoria Nasiova of Brooklyn to 21 years in prison for an identity theft plot in which she attempted to murder her beautician, who looked like her, by poisoning her with cheesecake.
Crazy.
Yeah. A jury found her guilty of the 2016 attempted poisoning and other charges in February of 2023. Her friend, eyelash stylist Olga Szczyzvik.
These foreign nail salons, like, for sure.
Oh, gosh.
Just trying to kill each other with cheesecakes and stuff. What's going on at the spa?
And, she actually survived. So the judge called Nasiova an extremely dangerous woman and said her crimes were diabolical. Nasiova's response to the judge in court after he announced her sentencing was, fuck you.
No. Yeah. Fuck you.
Fuck you.
fuck you.
Fuck, I can't. All right. Prosecutors said Nasiova, who is from Russia, used a poison available only in Russia. She brought the cheesecake to Szczyzvik's house for an eyelash touch-up appointment and ate two poison-free slices while offering the poison slice to Olga. 20 minutes later, Olga started to feel sick and went to lie down. Her friend found her unconscious the following day with pills scattered all around her.
Ooh, a little cover-up.
Nasiova had reportedly tried to make it look like Olga had tried to take her own life. She did not succeed, but she did steal Olga's passport, work permit, jewelry, and $4,000 in cash. Now, Nasiova was convicted of second-degree attempted murder, first-degree attempted assault, second-degree assault, first-degree unlawful imprisonment, and petty larceny. So, the question is, why did Victoria want to kill Olga and steal her identity? Well, it's because Victoria is wanted in the 2014 murder of her neighbor back in Russia.
She just wanted to go back to the motherland.
Yeah, you know. 54-year-old Alla Alexinko. Victoria was seen on traffic cameras transporting Alla's dead body in her car prior to burning and burying her body.
Jesus Christ. That's another thing, too, is we get a lot of rap in America here for crime.
Right.
I bet you Russia is wild. It just doesn't get out.
They're savage.
Yeah. It doesn't get out as much. Like, a lot of, like, all the fucked up videos I ever watched online were always in Russia.
Eastern European Russia.
They're fucking crazy. It just doesn't make headline news. Right. Like,
it's because it's normal. You know?
Yeah, it's just like, some lady.
Crazy Russians.
Yeah, crazy Russians.
So prior to being arrested for this crime, she seduced and slept with a police officer who helped her escape Russia, which led to her coming to America. The past was catching up to Victoria once Interpol became involved and issued a red notice, which is worldwide.
It's like the movie.
Yeah. It just so happened that Olga was a near doppelganger to Victoria, which led to her murder attempt and identity theft. So she was like, well, the Interpol's chasing me down. I'm going to murder this chick, steal her identity.
Steal her identity.
Yeah. Make her look like I'm the dead one, whatever. So that's that. Victoria, done.
That's a crazy story.
It's actually well thought out, too.
Yeah.
She just didn't pull it off. Like, having her OD on a cheesecake.
That could have easily.
And then dumping the pills.
It could have easily went the other way.
Yeah.
And she could have been
scot-free.
For sure.
Yep. What do we got?
All right. And, of course, we have the 81-year-old Ted Kaczynski was found dead in his prison cell on June 10th on 2023. Hmm. Known for decades as the Unabomber.
The Unabomber.
Kaczynski was known for mailing 16 bombs between 1978 and 1995.
16? I didn't think it was that many.
It was 16.
Didn't he also try to, like, crash a plane, too?
I'm pretty sure not all of them, the 16 actually worked. Yeah, it was, I think he was more of like a, like, he liked to strike fear. You know what I mean? That he liked the
the
ambiance of the Unabomber,
right?
The figure that he made.
Yeah, because the plane one was one of the duds.
Yeah,
like it went off, but it was just like a.
If that went off, though, that would have been big news. That would have been big news. Because now some would argue that that would have started the whole TSA and all the whole. Wait, whoa! I just thought about this.
What?
If the Unabomber succeeded in blowing up that plane,
we wouldn't have 9/11.
Would 9/11 even have happened?
He would have saved.
Holy shit! I didn't even think about that.
He would have saved thousands of lives.
And over here, we're villainizing him.
And 20 plus years in Afghanistan.
That's
crazy.
I'm telling you, because they would have instantly implemented better searches, better all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
9/11 might have never happened.
Wow. We just broke.
Boom.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
The Unabomber was actually.
Don't do that. Don't do that. His arrest came shortly after his 35,000-word manifesto was published in the New York Times and Washington Post, which is another crazy thing because we won't glorify anybody nowadays, but we'll post. Back then, we posted his fucking manifesto.
The entire 35,000 word.
On the New York Times.
Yeah.
Like,
you still have to read that.
Oh, I've never read it.
You still you have to.
I want to. Oh, yeah. I want to do it. Yeah, but isn't it like the whole like consumer this and like.
It talks a lot about social media, the way fucking the government is working now.
I feel like hermits, they do that, though. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I would never read, like...
It makes sense. Yeah. From back in 1995,
he was ahead of his time, you're saying.
Yeah.
His arrest came shortly after his 35,000-word manifesto and was published in the New York Times and Washington Post. Kaczynski had threatened to send more bombs if the papers didn't publish his letters. However, Kaczynski's sister-in-law suspected he had written the letter.
A 35,000-word manifesto, and just blank, and then
your
sister-in-law.
Oh,
like,
that's
Ted.
That's
that has
Ted,
to be
for
Ted
for sure.
That has to be Ted.
But that means he was definitely an interesting character. She knew off the rip. Like, oh no, this is definitely.
That's 100% him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas fucking BTK's wife
had no clue. Yeah.
When that caller sounds just like you. Oh, I don't know.
Well, that house is right down the road.
Yeah.
Right. Some people are smarter than others.
Yeah.
All right. She and Kaczynski's brother contacted the FBI, and Kaczynski was arrested at his Montana home on April 3rd, 1995.
Imagine the smell of that cabin.
Oh yeah, that was his last
20 years maybe.
That was his Alamo. Yeah. At the end of the day, because he wasn't. Remember, he wasn't going to go. He went out. He didn't go peacefully. That was a standstill, right?
For a little bit, yeah.
I think it was a standoff. No, I'm thinking of. Never mind. Sorry. I was thinking about the
Ruby Ridge.
Yeah, Ruby Ridge. I was connected to those two. That was fucking wild.
That was a standoff. Ruby Ridge actually.
That'd be a good trickle down effect. That would be a good
Ruby Ridge.
Waco would be a good one to do here too.
No, I'm saying that's a trickle down.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they hit Ruby Ridge first, right? I forget what year.
It was late '80s, early '90s.
Early '90s, yeah. They hit Ruby Ridge, and then Waco was kind of in response to Ruby Ridge.
They overthrew at it.
Yeah, and then the Oklahoma City bombing was in response to Waco.
Yep.
So
they were all connected.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, because
it's like fuck the FBI.
Yeah. Dave Koresh said that specifically because of Ruby Ridge that is the reason why he was stockpiling ammo and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Wow, we're breaking some.
Yep.
Wow.
That I'm telling you. Waco would be a good one to talk about.
Yeah.
I love Waco. Ruby Ridge would be a good one to talk about. You know, future episodes.
Yeah.
All right. Kaczynski pleaded guilty to his crimes in order to avoid the death penalty. He was sentenced to life in prison in 1998. Kaczynski's brother initially didn't believe he could be the Unabomber because he had never shown any signs of violence.
So his wife, the brother, the sister-in-law, must have been like, that's your brother. And he's like, no, I don't know. That's your brother. That's your fucking brother. Yeah. You better call the FBI. That's your fucking brother. Yep. And he's like,
no, it could be anybody. Oh, my God. He said the same thing at Thanksgiving the other day. You know that's how it went.
Yeah.
Bro, he sits there and spews this bullshit all day. What are you talking about? That's your brother.
Yeah.
And that was like, they had no clue who it was. So it was nationwide news.
Yeah.
So the fact that, out of X amount of people that live in the United States, she was like, nope, that's Ted.
Out of 350 million people, she's that's fucking Ted.
Whatever,
I don't care what you say.
That's crazy. Yeah. That is actually nutty. Mm-hmm. Because that means he was spewing whatever he was saying, he was just regurgitating at all times. For her to just be
for her
to
pick it up on
in
it.
Her head.
Yeah. Have you seen there's a documentary on the Unabomber, and they actually interview the brother.
I didn't.
You haven't seen that?
No. Nope.
So this is what I'm picturing.
Yep.
So it says right here that, you know, his brother was like, no, I couldn't have been, you know, I really didn't think it was him, blah, blah, blah. He comes off as a very timid, easily manipulated kind of person.
Sure, hon.
Yeah. So I can just see the wife right now. No, you're fucking calling the FBI. And he's like, okay.
Okay.
I don't think it's a... It's him! I don't think... No, shut the fuck up. You gotta call the FBI.
Hi, detective.
My wife's over here.
My wife said that she thinks it might be my brother-in-law. I'm not sure. I'm not really sure. He's a little troubled, I don't think he'll do this.
He whispers, it's not him. I don't think it's him. But my wife said that it's, you know...
That's actually crazy. Shout out to the sister-in-law.
Yeah.
Because they would have never found him either. The Unabomber would have...
Kept going. Yeah. She called him out.
Criminal AF would be back after this quick break. Now back to Criminal AF.
All right. Next, we have a little callback from our... previous episode we did
the
three-part Manson episode on July 11th.
Which, by the way, according to Spotify Wrapped, Manson was our number one episode.
Oh, which one? One, two, or three?
The first one.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I like that.
I like three the best.
I do like three.
Personally,
the best.
I like three.
Three was fun. They're all fun.
Yeah.
The three-parter. Good. All right. On July 11th, 2023, Manson family member Leslie Von Houten was finally released from prison.
She was a smoke show back in the day.
I know. Remember, we were talking about that on the episode.
Yeah.
She was the best one. Now, granted, you know damn well she smelt. She didn't shave. She was a hippie dippy. Yeah, so, if you saw her in person, you'd probably be like, oh, hell no.
Yeah. No way.
But in pictures, she was definitely the most photogenic out of all those.
I think she was
the
prom queen before she turned crazy.
Yeah.
She was like prom queen and...
I wonder what that childhood was like. Had to have been messy for her to join the whole... Anyway, she was finally released from prison.
Big news. This is big news.
That's big. After serving over 50 years of a life sentence, Van Houten was one of the members of the Charles Manson cult who murdered Lino and Rosemary LaBianca on August 9th, 1969, only a day after the murders of Sharon Tate's home.
Oof.
Van Houten, who was 19 at the time, stabbed Rosemary LaBianca more than 12 times. Van Houten was initially sentenced to death in 1971. But the state of California abolished the death penalty a year later.
Hmm.
Now 74.
Wow.
Wow, imagine getting out at 74. Mm. After serving 50 years and trying to restart your life at 74. There's no way. I'll just say, leave me in here.
At that point.
She probably had bridge on Sunday.
Yeah.
Then she went for...
crocheting.
Crocheting at whatever. You know what I mean? She probably had a whole schedule in there. But 50 years of...
Volleyball at noon.
Now,
I wonder if she had control of the commissary. I wonder if she was.
Dude,
like,
she was probably. She was so she was probably well known.
Do you think she was a pod boss?
Oh yeah.
Think she was.
No, I don't think so. I think she was one of those life sentencers where they just want to. They're just doing their time. They're not. They don't want to play games. Like,
Who's the other one?
I've been here for 40 years. Okay.
I can't think of. There was another one of the Manson family. One of the women who was actually a pod boss.
Yeah, I could see that though. I bet you back in the day they probably played the games. But if you've been in there 40 plus years.
Yeah.
You don't give a fuck anymore. It's your home.
It's kind of like a lion. What do you call them? Lion troop. What do you call them? Pack.
A pride.
Yeah. It's kind of like a
wolf pack.
Yeah. Well.
Lion pride. Wolf pack.
Wolf pack. Lion pride. You know, you get to a certain age, and then the young buck comes in and takes over.
Yeah. Go ahead. Whatever. Yeah. Whatever. And then you're just gonna lay there and eat.
Yeah. Just give me some. Give me some ramen.
Slide over those soap shoes and some ramen. And we're good. I'll let you do whatever the fuck you want.
Give me a fresh pair of shoes every month.
Do you know who I am?
Yeah.
Don't you know who I am? I'm one of the biggest murderers of the 20th century.
I stabbed Rosemary LaBianca 12 times. Yeah. Don't fuck
I was at Sharon Tate's house. All right, motherfucker.
No, she wasn't.
Oh, she wasn't?
No.
Stretch it. Now 74.
Yeah.
Van Houten will spend a year transitioning to life outside of prison at a halfway house.
Hear me out.
Yeah.
She spends a year. She's dead 50 years in prison.
Yeah.
She has to do a year in a halfway house transitioning to the real world.
For sure.
She fucking dies.
Oh.
She doesn't even experience. Imagine.
Why did I just feel bad for her?
Yeah.
I shouldn't.
But... Well, I felt bad for her when we did the episode.
Yeah.
Because, as we discussed in the episode, she stabbed Rosemary LaBianca 12 times. But in the autopsy, there were 12 stab wounds post-mortem. And they were very... little pokes. They weren't like stabs. They were pokes. And according to the story told by the others, Van Houten had to stab her to be just as complicit as the rest of them.
Yeah.
You have to do this.
You gotta do this.
So she was like, So, she did it, but did she do it? Kind of. You know what I mean? I don't know. Yeah, that's just my...
that goes back to when we what we covered right. in the episode, that you almost feel like these were just young girls that were like taken advantage of and their 100%. Minds twisted 100%.
100%. So, yeah.
I mean, she did. She served her time for sure.
Yeah. So and if there was ever anybody out of that whole crew that should be pardoned, I think it would be her. You know.
They even depicted her. If you ever watch there's like the Manson family on Amazon does a great episode on it, documentary yep. on it. Yep. They really do paint Leslie as like just this poor girl who got kind of sucked in the wrong group.
Yeah.
They do a really like they a lot in even the Manson movie. I forgot it's on Amazon too. You can find it. Mm-hmm. That they also painted her as a very girl who didn't want to be there, didn't want to do that. She just loved Charlie so much.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah. So Van Houten will spend a year transitioning to life outside of prison in a halfway house. She had originally been eligible for parole in 2020, mm-hmm. but California Governor Gavin Newsom blocked her release. During her time in prison, Van Houten earned 2 degrees and is in counseling and was looking for a job as she started her parole.
Wow. Yeah.
So she has a...
Do you know what's crazy?
So she has a master's in counseling.
In counseling. I guarantee you there was some sort of breakthrough with her going to counseling over being in a cult. For sure, that she realized that I want to do this for the rest. I want to do this to help people.
Right.
You can almost see it right there.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, her counselors were huge in the documentary and all mm-hmm. that stuff. She spent a lot of time with them. And she was the first one to break through out of all the other girls, right. if I'm not mistaken.
It took years. There's still a couple still in jail alive who still have not...
Broken through.
Broken from, yeah.
Yeah, thought they did anything wrong or still think of Charlie.
As this messiah.
Yeah. But she was one of the first ones because of how good the counselor was.
Dude, he was like 5'4".
Dude, that's a sex symbol, baby.
Dude, he was like 5'4", fucking little weasel of a fucking dude.
It sucks, too, because they...
everybody fought.
Think about it. Wow. He just recently died, right? She could have got out.
Ago, yeah.
Yep. He just recently died a couple years ago. Mm. He could have got out, and then she could have rekindled. She could have been the pen pal or like conjugal visits or whatever.
At 74.
Hey.
I wonder if it gets moist.
Oh, stop.
All right. Hear me out with this real quick. Gavin Newsom.
Yeah.
Does he remind you of the guy from Hunger Games? The MC?
A little bit, yeah.
he reminds me of the guy from Hunger Games.
A little bit, yeah. Katniss Everdeen.
Yeah.
The girl on fire. Sorry, go ahead.
All right, moving along. All right, so in July 31st of this year, Lori Vallow Daybell, if you remember this case, was sentenced to 2 consecutive life sentences for the murder of her children, 16-year-old Tylee Ryan and 7-year-old Joshua J.J. Vallow, as well as conspiracy in relation to the death of Tammy Daybell, the first wife of Lori's husband, Chad Daybell. Although Lori pleaded not guilty to the charges, she was found guilty after 2 days of deliberation, and the judge passed down her sentence, along with an additional 10 years for receiving Social Security benefits for her children after their murders. So she killed them and was collecting their fucking life insurance.
Wow.
The investigation into the murders of Tylee and JJ began in 2019 after family members called law enforcement to conduct a wellness check, as Tylee was last seen on September 8th, and JJ was last seen on September 22nd of that year. Their bodies were later discovered buried on the property of Lori's new husband, Chad Daybell.
Of course.
Yeah. This story gets wild. We should actually do this because, I mean, we're only doing a little snippet here.
Yeah.
This story is fucking wild. We're talking Mormon cult, like...
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
You know me.
Like,
I'm all in for cults.
You know, like the doomsday people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Preppers?
It's wild. And it doesn't just go with Lori and her new husband. It goes to her old husband, too, who heard a voice that said, hey, let's move to fucking Idaho, you know? And they packed the family up.
Build a doomsday bunker.
Just because he heard a voice or whatever. Yeah. It's fucking wild. All right. So in addition to the deaths of her children and conspiracy to commit murder for Chad's ex-wife, Lori has also been charged in the murder of her ex-husband, Charles Vallow, and the attempted murder of her niece's ex-husband, Brandon Boudreaux.
Jesus.
Wild. So they're just running this fucking murder.
It's like Survivor.
Yeah.
It's like you're voted off the island.
Yeah. Speaking of Hunger Games, I'm going to off you before you off me.
Yeah. It's a very savage fucking family.
Right. So I'm going to kill my fucking kids, kill my ex-husband, kill your fucking ex-wife, and I'm going to kill my niece's fucking husband too while I'm at it. All right, what's next?
Oh, well, next, I mean, we covered it.
Yeah.
On one of the episodes this year was Rex Schubelman.
Rex Schubelman, architect.
That was big news. Big news. We were so excited, and then all the reports just dropped off.
Yeah, too. Just dropped it off. Sucked. Everybody stopped talking. Nobody was talking about it.
Yeah. It took nearly 13 years for investigators to track down Rex Schubelman.
Architect.
who has been accused and charged with the murders of the now infamous Gilgo 4.
Mm.
A married father of two living directly across the bay from where the bodies were found. Huberman. Architect. Alleged.
We're going to do that every time.
No. I had to throw one more in there. Alleged ties to at least four of the 11 Gilgo Beach murders that shocked the true crime world.
Yeah. That was wild, though. When that news broke.
Oh, yeah. We thought, like, wild. Holy shit. We're gonna finally get one as we're doing Criminal AF. The details of the investigation, including DNA lifted off of a pizza crust and calls taunting a victim's family, have garnered national attention. The bodies of the woman who became known as the Gilgo 4 were discovered in the brush at Gilgo Beach in December 2010, following the disappearance of Shannon Gilbert.
That was a wild story right there.
Yep, that was good. The so-called Long Island serial killer investigation involved painstaking phone analysis, the search for better DNA technology, and the hope that a tip would come in and change everything.
Mm.
So far, Huberman, architect, is suspected in four of the deaths, and he's only been charged in connection with three of them. Many questions remain surrounding the additional six sets of human remains, including a toddler that were found in the brush along Ocean Parkway near Gilgo Beach.
I still want to know. That has to be.
I'm
surprised they haven't
run more. When is the trial? The trial's supposed to start.
We'll do a follow up.
His arrest also led to more evidence that has taken law enforcement across state lines.
Mm.
Police are paying close attention to properties in South Carolina, Nevada, and investigators are re-examining a case in Atlantic City involving four sex workers found dead in 2006.
Wow. Imagine if they can tie that.
Imagine he gets up to 20?
Dude, he's on a spree.
20?
Jesus. That puts him like in...
Atlantic City is the perfect place to kill people, though.
Yeah.
Well, let's be honest.
Well, any Vegas... You have the deserts.
Vegas. Any, like,
Atlantic City,
Sin City.
You have the forests.
Yep.
There's pretty dense forests around Atlantic City. I learned that in Sopranos.
Have you been to Atlantic City? You never been to Atlantic City?
No.
The Jersey Shore, none of that?
Yeah, I've been to Jersey, yeah. Not like the Atlantic City.
Yeah. It's really fucking bad. Especially, like, us being so close to two really nice casinos. Yeah. When you see Atlantic City, you're like, what the fuck?
It's a fucking dump.
Yeah. Yeah. It's bad. It's really bad. I went through my 21st birthday, right after my 21st birthday.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That, never go there again.
I heard that Atlantic City is, if you stay on the boardwalk.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. It's nice. It's, you know.
You cross the street?
I heard if you go down like, if you go across the street or down an alley, you're going to fucking die.
Yeah.
It's
bad.
Or get mugged.
It's like Washington. Washington, D.C. is the same way. You stay in the Capitol, it's like, wow.
Wow.
You take a left.
Wow.
Wow. There's the White House. There's the monument. And then you take a left and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It's amazing how some of those places can be so bad and so nice at the same time.
Right.
Like right across the street.
All right. Next up, we have Dwayne Keefe D. Davis, who was charged with murder in the death of Tupac Shakur.
I don't think he did it.
They're saying that he didn't. Well, let's read. Let's see what they say here.
I don't think
so. On September 29th, 2023, Dwayne Keefe D. Was arrested for his involvement in the murder of rap legend Tupac Shakur. Tupac was wounded and later died of his injuries following a drive-by shooting in Las Vegas on September 7th, 1996. Davis, a former gang leader, was arrested following a July 2023 search of his home along with other leads that he was involved in the fatal shooting. Prosecutors state that Davis arranged the shooting after Shakur got into a fight with Davis's nephew at a Las Vegas casino. They allege that Davis possessed a gun, which another passenger in the car used to shoot Shakur. If convicted, the 60-year-old Davis would spend the rest of his life in prison. Davis has already pleaded not guilty to the charges against him. So basically, Keefe D, what they're saying is he did not pull a trigger. He
orchestrated.
He ordered the...
We all know Shug orchestrated that shit, dude. Come on.
Dude, I heard this wild, and I'm going to say it's a conspiracy theory, okay? A wild conspiracy theory that P. Diddy actually...
You mean Diddy the Diddler?
Diddy the Diddler.
Gotcha. First off, that's a whole other episode that we're probably going to have to do cover as more shit comes out once a week. No, once a week shit's coming out now.
Oh, yeah.
with this guy.
50 Cent has been dropping some, some good shit. Yeah. All right, so the conspiracy theory is Puff Daddy, P. Diddy, paid these guys to shoot, to kill Shug and Tupac. Yep. Okay, because they had that beef going on, right? So they did this, they killed Tupac. P. Diddy never paid them. Basically ghosted them, didn't do nothing. So in retaliation of being ghosted,
they killed Biggie.
They killed Biggie.
I mean, it's not far off.
I mean, I don't know. It sounds legit.
We know that there was some sort of beef between
yeah,
Bad Boy and what is it, Death Row?
Yeah.
So who knows? Well, no, I don't think, I think they're going to get off. There's not enough evidence. Yeah. I don't think he will, KVD will get charged.
Yeah, we'll see.
You know what? That's another interesting thing that 20 years ago, this would have been breaking, or 10 years ago, this would have been breaking news, like going along with the aliens thing that we were talking about earlier. Right.
Yeah. Everybody's like, eh.
Yeah. Like Tupac's murder. Like people, remember
Tupac's still alive. He's in Cuba.
Yeah. Tupac's still alive. He's hanging on the beach with Michael Jackson. Yeah. Like, no. Remember, like, that was like the biggest thing ever was who killed Tupac? Nobody gives a fuck anymore. It's crazy.
It's sad, too.
Our attention spans are just so short. All right, next we have Jordan Vandersloots.
Oh, this fucking scumbag.
Yeah, biggest scumbag of the year for sure.
Mm-hmm.
His recent confession that he killed Alabama teenager Natalie Holloway in Aruba in 2005. Mm. I remember this vividly, the story.
Yeah.
2005, I was, let's see, I don't want to age myself here, but 2005.
Bro, you're 20 years younger than me. Fuck you, I don't want to age my year.
2005, I was in eighth grade.
2005.
Mm-hmm.
2005, I had two kids, a mortgage, two car payments.
But, so I was eighth grade. I started high school in 2006. That's why I knew that. But 2005.
Oh, no. 2005, I was divorced. Yeah. Never mind.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, we would have been hanging out.
Yeah. Hanging out in eighth grade. Hey, come on
the
over
divorce,
here.
The divorce, get dad.
I'll buy you some beer.
Yeah. Oh, sweet. You would have been my Packy Connect for my parties. I clearly, even in being in eighth grade, I remembered this case. Yeah. It was huge.
It was wild, yeah.
So shortly after he pleaded guilty in an Alabama federal court to extorting and defrauding Holloway's family, the confession came in early October, authorities said. Going into the room that day, both parties kind of went in with a mutual understanding of why we were there and what we hoped to accomplish, the FBI officials told CNN. Vandersloot confessed to killing Holloway as a part of a plea agreement in the extortion and fraud case.
Mm.
That seems kind of fucked up, though.
Yeah.
To me, it's almost like he's trying to get out of getting in trouble, so he might, like, you know what I'm saying? That's not like good justice. That's like almost.
Oh no,
like
it benefits him in some.
Yeah,
some way.
That's kind of fucked up.
Yeah,
you don't get closure there as a family. Yeah. And that's just my opinion. I don't know.
Right.
As part of a plea agreement in the extortion and fraud case, during his proffer, the Dutch national detailed how he killed Holloway, who was 18 at the time, on the beach in Aruba after she rejected his sexual advances. What a pussy.
Jeez.
Eventually bludgeoning her with a cinder block and putting her body into the ocean. Court documents show. In a proffer, a defendant offers information that a person knows about a crime, often as part of a plea deal. That's what I'm saying. All these cases, a lot of cold cases were solved this year or have leads found, right? And
nobody cares.
Nobody cares. It's kind of sad.
Well, that's why we're doing this year in review.
Yeah. So we can shout him out on Criminal AF here. We care.
We care about the cold cases.
In the weeks before the plea agreement finally came together, the FBI was also in contact with Holloway's mother, Beth, who had remained a fierce advocate for her daughter in the nearly 20 years since she went missing, the Holloway family's attorney told CNN.
Dude, that's a given. A fierce...
If
your kid disappeared and you have no idea where they are...
You'll never stop.
Are you going to give up?
No, never.
No.
No. You see it countlessly. Casey Anthony. No, I'm just kidding.
Casey. Oh, what the fuck?
That was a joke.
Did you hear that? She said that she's ready for another kid.
I know. Fucking
did you read
shit,
that shit?
Piece of shit.
Fuck you.
Piece of shit.
She should have... I'm sorry. You should never give her a hysterectomy.
Well, Vandersloot was brought to the U.S. from Peru in June to face charges of extorting and defrauding Holloway's family as part of a plot to sell the family false information on where Holloway's remains were located.
Yeah, there was some crazy shit like leading up to this. Like his attorneys and her attorneys, they at some point a few years ago, I don't know if it's going to cover this in the story, but a few years ago, they actually met together and he's like, oh, do you want to know where she is? I'll tell you where she is. And she's like, okay, but I need like $20,000 or some shit like that. And she paid... $20,000 and he fucking ghosted her.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. That's extortion. That's the biggest fucking extortion.
Yeah. So he murdered another lady, too, during this time.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. He's actually in well, when they said that, they flew him in from Peru. He's mm-hmm. actually, he murdered, same circumstance, married a girl in Peru.
Jesus Christ.
In a fucking hotel room.
So he was serving in Peru.
Yeah. But Peruvian jails?
Yeah, I'd rather go to American jail, too.
Right. This is what he's getting out of it.
Yeah.
Because now they flew him to the United States and like, all right, now we're going to hold you.
We're going to extradite you to the United States. But, that's kind of, I'd rather let him rot in the fucking Peruvian jail.
Right. But here's the fucking thing, and this is the kicker. His Peruvian sentence and his American sentence are going to run concurrent.
Yeah, but he should spend the rest of his life. I mean, he'll spend. You think he's going to get out?
Finish reading the story.
Oh. The Dutchman is serving a 28-year prison sentence in Peru after being convicted of a murder in 2010. The death of a Peruvian woman, Stephanie Flores. The 20-year sentence he received in the U.S. on the extortion charges after the plea agreement will be served at the same time as his sentence in Peru. Whether Vandersloot could face additional charges is not entirely clear. The statute of limitation for the murder in Aruba, 12 years has passed, but the Aruba prosecutor's office says that the case remains open and this month asked the U.S. Department of Justice for documents pertaining to the investigation. Aruban authorities will review and analyze the documents before deciding on the procedural steps.
Yeah, so he got 28 years for the murder in Peru. He's getting 20 years. He got a 20-year plea agreement.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood what you were saying. Yeah. So the time served up to this point will run concurrent with what he's going to get in America.
Right.
Bull.
So it's not.
It's not another 20 years.
Right. It's concurrent.
Oh, fuck that.
So he's only serving 28 years. So he's going to serve 20 of the years in the United States prison. And he's going to serve 8 years in the Peruvian prison.
Fuck that shit.
Yeah. That's it. That's all he's getting. He murders two young women because they didn't want to fuck him. And he's like, oh, well, guess what? You're fucking dead. I'm going to kill you.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fucking...
And he gets 28 years. Fucking piece of shit.
Hopefully we get, like, one of those endings where he dies in fucking jail.
Somebody needs to fucking change him.
Criminal AF will be back after this quick break.
This bustling holiday season, you might be looking for nutritious, flavorful meals to fuel you on jam-packed days. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal delivery service, can help you eat well for breakfast, lunch, and dinner with chef-prepared, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time and stay on track with your healthy lifestyle while tackling all of your holiday to-dos.
With Factor, you can rest assured you're making a sustainable choice. They offset 100% of their delivery emissions and source 100% renewable electricity for their production sites and offices.
They're green.
Green's the new wave, man.
All right. Now, Factor isn't just for dinner. Count on extra convenience at any time of day with an assortment of 55-plus add-ons to suit various preferences and tastes. Choose from quick breakfast items, lunch to go, grab and go snacks, and ready to drink cold pressed juices, shakes, and smoothies.
The other day, I was eating the vegan chili, okay. And I'm not even kidding. I looked at my wife and said, "You know what? I could go vegan." And she laughed at me. But I'm telling you, at that moment, that vegan chili was so good. I was like, you know, I could give up meat.
I could do this vegan stuff.
Yeah. That's how, I'm telling you, they made me a believer out of vegetables, and it's not easy for anyone to do that to me.
Right. Well, you know, Garrett, and a lot of our listeners know as well, you know, I recently had gastric bypass surgery.
Yes.
And these Factor meals are perfect for my new lifestyle. The meals are actually large portions. You know, they're 10 to 12 ounces per meal. I actually split them up into two. Yep. So I can actually get two meals out of one, and I'm set for the week. Like, I don't have to cook. I don't have to go shopping. I don't have to do anything. I just get my box, divvy it up, and I'm good to go. So if you've had a gastric bypass, or if you're thinking about going vegan like Garrett.
And ask them, what's in the cheese fondue? Because I'm telling you, I was blown away. The Chipotle pork chops cheese fondue. I'm telling you guys, go get it.
And you can get all of that by going to factormeals.com/criminalaf50 and use code criminalaf50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/criminalaf50 and use code criminalaf50 to get 50% off.
Factor,
America's number one ready-to-eat meal delivery service.
With the amount of graphic research I do for this show on my phone, tablet, and computer, if someone didn't know me, they'd think I was an active serial killer or someone really into death and murder. I mean, which I kind of am. But still, I don't want those who have no business seeing my online activity to gain access or to get hacked. That's why I use NordVPN. With NordVPN, I can avoid government tracking, hackers, and other forms of exploitation by allowing me to change my IP address, virtually disappearing on the web. So go to the show notes on this episode and click the link for NordVPN to receive 69% off plus 3 extra months.
Now back to Criminal AF.
All right. Do you remember Gypsy Rose?
The that story sounds of
Gypsy
so familiar.
Rose. Yeah, Gypsy Rose Blanchard. She was granted early parole. So in June of 2015, Dee Dee Blanchard, her mother, was found murdered in their Missouri home. It would soon be learned that Dee Dee was murdered by her daughter, Gypsy Rose Blanchard, and Gypsy's boyfriend at the time.
I do remember this story.
Yes.
Yes, 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 yes.
Her boyfriend, Nick Godjohn. Godjohn.
Godjohn.
Due to Gypsy being a victim of Munchausen by proxy.
Mm.
As it turned out, Dee Dee had purposely made Gypsy sick for years, making up illnesses that the young girl didn't have, and telling Gypsy that no one would believe her even if she revealed the truth. I mean, we're going to the extent of confining her to a fucking wheelchair, you know, basically making her so fucking weak, you know, all this other kind of shit.
Well, I remember the story because when we did the episode on...
Mary Beth Tang?
Mary Beth Tang. Yeah. I was looking up just Munchausen syndrome in general, and
that came up.
This came up.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
This was a very, very sick fucking case.
That's crazy that you would do that to your own kids. Yeah. But that's a whole
nother thing. She wanted the fucking attention. Oh, look at me. Feel bad for me. Look at my baby.
My baby's sick.
She can't walk. She's in a fucking wheelchair. Oh, my God. Feel bad for me. After meeting Godjohn online, Gypsy and Godjohn devised a plan to murder Dee Dee and run away. After being convicted of first-degree murder and sentenced to 10 years in prison in 2016, now 32 years old, Gypsy Rose Blanchard will be given early parole and released as of today. What is we're December 27th. We'll be released tomorrow, December 28th.
Wow.
2023. Godjohn was sentenced to life in prison without parole in a separate 2019 case. Blanchard and Godjohn broke up years ago. But Blanchard is currently married to a man she exchanged letters with while incarcerated. What is this? Love After Lockup? What's
love,
that show?
Love After Lockup, I think. Yeah.
Love Behind Bars.
Love Behind Bars. Yeah.
Some shit like
that's,
that.
That's amazing that people are just so desperate that they mail letters into. My new favorite thing is watching YouTube videos.
Yeah.
There's a video camera, and inmates will call up.
Oh, it's like a dating profile.
Yeah. Yo, my name is B. Babbitt. Yeah. You know, baby, I just, you know, I'm trying to have somebody to talk to. I love you, like, love you. You all look good. You're sexy. All right, well, I like long walks on the beach.
And
like
candlelit tits.
Dinners and your titties. Bye, baby. And then it hangs up. Hit me up. I'm inmate 4535. And then they hang up. And then they go to the next one. It is so funny.
Oh, my God. I saw the female ones.
Yeah, the female ones are funny, too. But the men one are the best because they come with so much, like, cockiness and swagger. You're like, bro, you're serving a fucking life sentence. What, like, why are you acting like you're...
You can only take so much dick in prison. You know what I mean?
You know, the crazy story about this is... she only got 10 years.
You need to be looking at those pictures of the nudes while you're, you know...
Life in jail, I probably...
Bopping
go,
the behind.
I probably go the other way, too. Yeah. Life in jail. I gotta get
Are you the pitcher or catcher?
I'm a switch.
You'd be a catcher.
I'd be switching.
Nah.
I couldn't just be a catcher. I would get, like...
No.
I'd have to switch.
Yeah.
You gotta have fun with it.
Yeah.
You never know. Funky mood I'm in that night.
Even though you have a smaller stature,
yeah,
I think your gift of gab can get you out of a lot of situations.
Yeah, I'll talk my way out of that.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm just saying, hey, you know, life in prison, fuck it.
Yeah, I think you would fare better in prison than I would.
No, yeah, you already. I'm have not talking that like demeanor.
I'm not talking like DUI prison. I'm talking like prison.
Yeah, like lockup, like maximum security prison.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think people would challenge you.
Yeah.
You already have that.
I have what they call a bitch face.
Not only do you have a bitch face, you also come off as like this loud, boisterous person.
Yeah.
And they don't like that shit.
And they're going to try. Yeah.
They're going to be like, hey, fucking Dave, you think you're the shit?
Yeah.
I'm going to fade, bro. I'm going to be like a little rat.
Yeah.
I'm
gonna fucking... If me and you get locked up together, I can see you selling me out.
No.
To be like, yeah, see the fucking poke ass over there?
No, hell no.
Yeah, see that little
hell
bitch?
No. Hell no. I don't know what I would do. No. We've talked about this on the
podcast. Yeah.
But.
You'd be a pod boss.
No, hell no. I'm not running the pod. I would never do that. I am going to fly so under the radar.
No, you're going to have Kelly. You're going to have your mom. And I can see right there.
Oh, I'm selling.
Your mom is stacking your books.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have so much fucking commissary.
Like I said, I hope Kelly's still with me, but I'm 100%. I'm getting as much money as I can, and I'm dishing out like almost like a reward system.
Right.
I'm going to reward these guys.
Right.
Like little points. Yeah. Some soap, some fucking ramen, some whatever. Yeah. Whatever you need. Like, there's going to be like a credit system with it.
Right. New pair of boxers.
Whatever you need. Yeah. Just, you know what I mean? Just be nice. Just treat me nice, you know?
Your mom would 100% stack.
She's not. My mom loves me.
I know.
She's not going to let me
You're
go
You're the
out.
Baby boy.
I'm the baby boy. She's not going to let me go out like that.
No.
I'm like, Mom, I need $100 on commissary right now.
You'll be set. Me, I'll be like, fuck. Anybody got a nickel?
No, but as long as we're locked up together, yeah. We'll be fine. I'm telling you, I'm going to get you through this, Dave. I'm going to get you through
Am
this.
Am I going to be your muscle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, because I don't want any
you don't want
aggressive.
Drama.
Aggressive.
You don't want to bring attention.
I don't want any aggressive like authority.
Yeah.
No, that's not me. That's what gets you in fucking trouble there. They're all fucking bunch of...
I wouldn't be a good muscle guy.
No, not anymore.
No.
You lost all your fucking power.
I lost...
You lost all the oomph.
Yeah. Yeah, when I was 300 plus pounds, I probably...
You could have. You could have. Yeah, you could have carried your own. Problem is, they'll jump you in jail.
Oh, no. Yeah, I'm very willing. See, my thing is that I would just, like, keep my head down, not start shit. You know, just mind my business. But like you said, somebody is probably going to try me. And my thing is, I'll probably get my ass beat, maybe stabbed a couple times, whatever. But
I'm going to fight back.
I'm going to fight back. Like the number one thing, and this comes from like our CO friends, our correction officer friends. The worst thing to go in on the first day is if somebody calls you a bitch. On day one,
you can't use
you
that.
Have
bitch,
to.
Bitch means a different.
You have
is
to
a
react.
Different tone.
Yeah.
In jail.
You have to react.
Yeah.
Like you can't just be like ignore it.
Yeah.
If somebody calls you, but that is a direct fucking challenge.
Yeah. That's it's not like you and your friends saying bitch out here.
Right.
That's yeah.
Shut the fuck up, bitch. Yeah. No, bitch is like you're my bitch.
Yeah.
You know. So yeah. So I would have to react, and then you know what? I'll be put in solitary, and I'll get out, and I'll just. Punch somebody again and then go back in solitary and I'll do my time in solitary and become crazy.
No, you'd go crazy, dude. You'd go crazy. I'd start talking to the COs.
I'd have a bar of soap with a fucking face carved out.
Yeah.
That'll be my
You'd
friend.
Be like Tom Hanks on Castaway.
Wilson.
Yeah, you'll be Wilson. You'll have your bar of soap, Wilson. Yeah.
And when my bar of soap like fades away from washing, I'll be like,
the CO, the CO comes up to the door like, Dave, you all right? And he's like, you just see the back of your head and you're just...
Making out with a bar of soap. Carve a hole in the bar of soap.
His what? Mouth.
Leave me alone.
It's just soap like this.
has the face of a blow up doll.
After washing your ass, your pubes are hair on the top. All right, sorry. All right. No, honestly, I hope that one day, if we get murdered, if we ever get charged with murder, I hope we only have to serve 10 years in jail.
Yeah.
It's great. She only got 10 years.
Yes. Well, it has to be some fucked up case.
Yeah.
It has to be really fucked up.
No, she only got 10 years.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But that's because it's a fucked up case.
Yeah.
You know, she was tortured her fucking entire life, pretty much. So, yeah. Yeah, that was bladed. Again, we're going off on a... Listen, guys, it's Christmas, okay?
Yeah.
It's Christmas. It's almost
fun.
A new year. We're
all
having
right.
a good time.
Let us have fun.
Don't fucking come at me with all the...
We'll figure it out next year.
Yeah. 2004.
We're never going to figure it out. I'm going to be honest with you guys.
New Year's resolution.
But last but not least,
This
was probably the biggest case of the year, for sure.
Coming into,
2023. Yeah.
And there's actually, like, new stuff coming out, like,
he could,
as of, like, the last 2 days.
He could get off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He could get off very easily. All right, this case actually took place November, but it's still relevant and ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
In November 2022, a student at the University of Idaho called 911 to report an unconscious individual. When authorities arrived at the scene, an off-campus house near the university, the door was open, and they ultimately found not one unconscious person, but four deceased individuals inside.
Now, here's the thing. Again, I'm just saying, hypothetically, all right, so I live here in the basement, okay? You let me rent out a room down here in the basement.
Yep.
And studio chloroform.
This isn't a basement.
No, this is the penthouse.
So I give you the bottom floor of the penthouse.
Yeah.
Studio chloroform.
Okay. Got you. With no spiders.
No spiders, no. There was dog shit on the floor.
There was literally dog shit.
The little dog shit on the floor before we started this
Thank
episode.
Thank you, Anya.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, if you remember a couple episodes
Studio
ago.
Studio Chloroform, penthouse, yeah.
We were chasing Anya for fucking half an hour.
Yeah.
But now she repays us by
shitting on our floor.
Shitting on the floor.
Awesome.
Yeah.
go ahead.
All right, so if I come here and then I wake up, I go upstairs and I see you stabbed to death on a floor, I'm not calling in an unconscious person.
No.
Fucking Garrett's dead. Did it happen differently? I mean, what did you know more about this than I do? So.
No, I think
I don't think that the individual who called checked. Mm. I think it was he was nervous, just said, she's not breathing, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, okay.
I think it was more of a scared thing. A traumatic experience like that for a child, I don't care what you said, they're child, they're college kids, but they're,
yeah.
they're children.
Yeah.
I think he went in there, saw something wasn't fucking right, saw blood. He just was like, she's not breathing, she's unconscious or whatever. And he didn't hang out in the room, check vitals, look at the fucking exit wound, the stab wounds, you know what I mean? I think he was just like, oh shit, and just ran out.
Right.
So I don't blame him for that injury. But you're right. I get where you're going because me like now, I would have been like, yo, you good? You good?
Yeah.
You good? Like, what the fuck is wrong?
Teabagged him. Something.
Maybe put my nuts on your forehead. You're something. Right. Something. Yeah. Like for sure. I get what you're saying though. But you got to put an age in consideration. And
I got you.
An Idaho coroner ruled all four deaths homicide by stabbing. The victims were identified as Kaylee Goncalves, 21, Madison Mogan, 21, Ethan Chapin, 20, and Enzana Kernodal, 20. Three of the four students rented the home together, and all were reportedly close friends. The day of the murders, Goncalves posted a picture of herself and the three others on her Instagram. Police also identified two other students who lived in the home and who survived the attack unharmed. Authorities didn't name these students, and Aaron Snell, communications director for the Idaho State Police, only revealed potentially they are witnesses. In the weeks following the murders, police failed to identify a suspect but cleared all four victims of any suspicion. They also announced they found no murder weapon at the scene. TikTok, which was where all of this was, sworn the case soon after the news of the murders went public, and the theories began cropping up rapidly.
Bro,
and that's so true.
Those stories were wild.
For like 3 weeks, they're like, oh, Santa came down early. Yeah. Like, it was wild, the crazy stories.
Yep.
Theories began cropping up rapidly. Some online sleuths cast suspicion on the two roommates who survived the attack, while others blamed a local food truck driver who spoke to the victims the night of their murder. Mm. Police have ruled out all these individuals. These speculation reportedly resulted in harassment, defamation, and doxing. And one professor even filed a lawsuit after a TikTok user alleged she planned the murders on December 30th, 2022. Yeesh. Police arrested 28-year-old Brian Koberger, a PhD candidate studying criminology at nearby Washington State University. Koberger had reportedly been following the quadruple homicide in the news and was shocked to be arrested.
How dare you arrest me?
How dare you? Koberger, I'm a criminology major.
I know. I've been working on a PhD.
The smartest PhD.
No.
Koberger became a suspect after authorities matched DNA collected from the crime scene with genetic information one of his family members submitted to a genealogy website.
Isn't that crazy now? Like, you can pretty much track...
Oh, we're going to get to the point as more people do 21andMe and all...
Yeah, because you're voluntarily giving up your DNA. Yep. Yeah.
That you won't get away with. There's not going to be crime. No. They're going to have somebody's great-great-great-grandfather, whatever, by the time... In 100 years, it's going to be everywhere. It's going to be an actual database. Though Koberger is reportedly the sole suspect in the case, he has not been convicted of any wrongdoing.
Yeah.
And that's where it gets iffy, because just like you said, the recent information is he actually has a pretty good case to get off.
Right.
And they have no other leads.
Well, they actually, from what I was reading in this happened fairly recently before they denied an appeal to have the knife sheath that they found, which is the DNA that matches him to the crime scene. Correct. They had an appeal to have that removed from evidence because apparently, I don't know exact details, but it was collected improperly.
That's so crazy.
Okay. The only thing that's connecting him.
If he gets off on some shit like that,
the only thing that's connecting him. Okay. So they denied the appeal to have that withdrawn from evidence. What is it? The circuit, the next one up, the appeals. What's higher than the appeals court? The appellate court. Circuit. I forget. Anyway, the next one up basically said, yes, we'll hear your appeal. So they appealed. They denied it. They appealed the appeal, and now they're granting it. So now they're going to hear testimony on whether or not the sheath, the only thing connecting him to this fucking house.
Well, they also have the GPS phone. It was turned off during the motor, or it was turned off during the murder.
Okay.
There's a little bit more.
That's circumstantial.
Yeah.
But the one thing... specifically putting him inside that house. Could be taken away, could be dismissed.
That's so crazy. It's kind of fucked up.
Which now everything in this case will be 100% circumstantial. That's crazy, crazy.
If he gets off, that's nuts.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll get off. He'll. They're gonna have a hard.
We haven't seen all the evidence either.
No. So, but apparently this knife.
The knife was the easy.
Yeah. It's like, all right, he was there. Yeah. Hey, this is his. Or maybe not that he was there, but this is his.
Yeah.
It has his DNA on it. This belonged to him.
Yeah. This was the sheet that held the murder weapon.
Right. Yep. Yeah. And that could all go away. Fucking wild. What's going on in fucking Idaho anyway? Like, we have this case. We had the Lori Vallow case where she killed her fucking kids that we just talked about. Yep. That was Idaho. I'm going to be covering the Scream Killers case for our Patreon episode of YouTube and Chill about the murder of Cassie Jo Stoddard. Yep. Fucking Idaho is wildin', bro. Wildin'.
That Midwest town feel, you know what I mean? People working, hard workers, 9 to 5. They gotta let that fucking rage out somewhere,
Yeah. Well, there's no fucking extracurricular activities. We might as well fucking murder.
middle America, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, so that'll do it for the year in review.
A year.
Yeah.
A lot of cold cases.
There's still quite a few that happened this year that...
were not included, yeah.
Yeah. What's that? Adnan... what the fuck was his name? Remember the podcast Serial? Adnan Ayed, or whatever his name is. He was in jail for 20 years for the murder of his ex-girlfriend. Coming to find out that they ran DNA, and his DNA is nowhere to be found.
There's no proof.
No proof. But there's other DNA from other people on her body. Not his. And apparently there was a witness saying that he, Adnan, was nowhere near his ex-girlfriend. At that time, he was in the library studying with her, but the prosecution or his defense attorney at the time, one of the two, did not call her as a witness.
Wow.
For an alibi. They totally just fucking, nope. So he spent 20 plus years in jail for her death, and he just got exonerated.
Can you sue if you spend that kind of time in jail?
Yeah.
And then you...
100%. Now, some states, like there was this guy, I don't know the name of the case or anything, but there was a guy who was falsely accused of rape and murder. I think it was in the state of New York. Falsely accused of rape and murder. Yeah, it's him. It wasn't him. He spent nearly 30 years in jail. Finally, DNA evidence exonerated him.
Found him not guilty.
He went to sue the state of New York for false imprisonment and all this other kind of shit, and they fucking denied him. Like, nah.
That's crazy. Yeah. I better be compensated. If I do 30 fucking years in jail.
Yeah. And there was another case where, I forget what state it was, they only compensated him $1 for each year he was in jail.
You didn't take away, you took away time. You took away the most valuable fucking thing you have.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially 30 years of your prime life.
Yeah. Like my fucking second marriage. Like, I wasted 15, that was a prison sentence. I wasted 15 years of my fucking life. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. All right. So that'll do it for the year in review. But as promised, as we discussed in the beginning of the show, it's time for another edition of
Dear Douchebags.
Ooh, we harmonized. That sounded good. Do it again.
Dear Douchebags.
Oh, that was a little off. We'll work on it.
3, 2, 1. Go.
Dear Douchebags.
All right. Hey, fuckos. I love your show so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. It brings me so much gruesome enjoyment throughout my day.
Good.
That's our intention. So I need you to tell me if I am overreacting to something that my dad did. Ooh, okay.
Oh, wait, this could get weird.
Let's buckle in.
Here. Okay.
All right. Put our thinking caps on here. My friends and family seem to be split 50-50 on this situation. I have been helping my dad clean out my cousin's house as this cousin just recently moved into a nursing home. Okay.
Okay.
I live 2 states away and have been driving in once a week for the last 2 months to help my father clean out the home and get the house sold. Ooh, 2 states away, once a week. I get tired of that pretty quick. What,
3-4 hours?
Yeah.
Depending on the state.
Yeah. If it's like Texas and fucking Oklahoma.
You know? Yeah, 4, 5, 4, 6.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, I'm driving from Texas to fucking California through Arizona.
Great daughter. She's cleaning it. She's helping her, her dad get through a difficult time.
That's good. All right. So my father is almost 80 and is having a hard time with this situation. I have dropped everything to help him and have never let on that this was really causing some hardship. I've been missing work, miles on the car, constant phone calls with relatives, lawyers, etc. But that's what you do for your parents, right?
Sure. Yeah, I would do the same thing. Yep.
100%. While cleaning, we found a beautiful clock that upon investigation, realized that it was actually an urn that contained the ashes of my cousin's late husband. Now, my cousin's late husband...
What the fuck?
...was an absolute twat. Okay. No one misses him. Not even my cousin in a nursing home.
Jesus Christ.
All right.
She moved on fast.
Yeah. So my dad wanted to just flush his ashes down the toilet.
Jesus Christ.
But I flat out refused. Okay. Oh,
that was nice of you.
Even though we couldn't stand the guy, that doesn't mean I'm going to desecrate his ashes.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I respect that. I just feel that it is incredibly disrespectful. I decided to spread his ashes in the flower bed, as that was one of his favorite places in the yard. But it was exceptionally windy that day, and I'm not about to breathe corpse dust, so I told my father
to
put his ashes in another room so he didn't have to look at them.
Oh, no, he flushed them down the
And that I would come back in a week and spread his ashes the next time I come.
Yeah.
All right. So I proceeded to pack a few more of my cousin's belongings into my car and then made the long drive home. When I got home, I started unloading my car, and tucked underneath a bunch of clothing was a bag of ashes.
That's even worse than flushing them in the toilet.
My father had waited for me to have my back turned, and he went out to my car and hid the ashes. Oh. I am absolutely furious.
All right. I get why you're mad, but your dad is a fucking straight up comedian. He literally gave you a ghost to bring back to your house.
Right. Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. No, it's fucked up.
It is fucked up.
But that is funny. It is funny. Like, yeah. Appreciate the root of it.
Right.
That's some fucking comedy right there.
Yeah. Not for nothing. That would probably be something I would do.
Yeah, but it's depending on the person that you're doing it to. Your sons would probably be like, yo, dad, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But, like, some people would be like, yo, what the fuck?
Yeah. All right. So my dad, so she's absolutely furious, granted. All right, so my dad.
And you, by the way, I don't mean to downplay, you deserve to be mad about that.
Right. If that's your feelings, you are justified.
100%.
You're justified to feel that way. My dad tried passing it off as a joke, but it wasn't a joke. It's just something he wouldn't wait a week for me to take care of. Understandable. My husband doesn't want the ashes in the house. I don't blame him.
Your dad gave you a ghost. That's so funny. Yeah. Holy shit.
So now my cousin's husband's ashes are in my shed until I can figure out what I want to do. I pray to God that my ashes aren't passed around and end up in a fucking garden shed.
Dude, this poor guy in his afterlife is just like, what the fuck is going on down there?
Well, I mean, she also said that he's a twat, so fuck him. Whatever. True,
you kind of have to reap what you sow, but at least she didn't flush you down the toilet.
Right. Oh, and even worse, he didn't even give me the clock.
he kept the clock and took the ashes out. Oh, that's fucked up.
And put it in her car.
I thought he put the clock in there.
Oh.
Oh no!
I think that would have lessened the blow a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the clock. It's a nice clock.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it still has the cousin's ghost in it. I wouldn't want the clock.
No, I wouldn't keep the clock.
No,
I wouldn't. Even if I took the ashes out, I still wouldn't keep that clock. I don't even believe in ghosts. You know that.
Yeah.
Still, it's something eerie about that. It's bad juju.
Well, you know how I like fire, right?
Yeah.
I like burning shit.
Yeah.
I would 100% burn.
You just double ash the ashes.
Double ash the ashes. Okay. And then spread the ashes in the garden at a later time.
In the garden.
It's
by your house, though.
No, at the other house, in the garden.
Oh, yeah. I would have, even if it was windy, I would have just went like this.
Just stand downwind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. Keep going.
All right. Yeah, I would have burned the clock and the ashes, and then dug out the ashes out of the fire pit and put them in the fucking flower pit. That's what I would have done, but that's just me. All right. Now, it's important to note that my father has always been shady as fuck.
Whoa.
Ooh. Okay. I grew up watching him behave this way on a regular basis. And many times, his behavior would affect the whole family.
All right, so he's the problematic.
So is he, like, trying to be funny? Or is it like, one of those things where he does something and people get mad at him, and he's like, well, it was only a joke.
I was only joking. It was a joke.
Yeah. Is it like that?
Yeah.
I think it's like that.
That type of guy is not good to be around either. Yeah. So I get where she's coming from.
You stole my $5,000. What? It was just a joke.
It's a joke.
Come on, lighten up. It was a joke.
Dad, you used to belittle me as a kid. It was I'm fucking joking.
With you.
My self-esteem is horrible now. I'm fucking joking. Relax.
Dad, you fucked my wife. I was kidding. Come on. Wait, you can't take a joke anymore? What? What happened with you? Lighten up. All right. So
she's your ex-wife now.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
All right. So his regular, this behavior on a regular basis has been affecting the whole family. But I had chosen to forgive him because at the end of the day, he's still my father. That's, you know, that's true. He is your father. You only get one father in most, for most people. But when he pulled this stunt with the ashes, it finally, after 50 years, dawned on me that he will never, ever have respect for me, regardless of how much I help him.
Wow.
I do know people like this. I do know people who go out of their way to help their parents, and their parents basically just shit all over them.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
She did do a lot.
And the siblings that don't take care of their parents
are the ones that are
loved. Are fucking gold.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why can't you be like your brother?
I feel like every family has that situation.
Yeah.
There's always a favorite. And even if you don't know who the favorite is, you are the favorite. That's how it usually works.
Well, I don't know. I was the favorite. Anyway. All right. Regardless of how much she helps, he will never have respect for her. I have gone no contact with him. And as far as I'm concerned, I will never talk to him again.
Whoa.
Some family members think I'm right to feel this way, while others feel I am totally blowing this way out of proportion. So, do you, dear douchebags, think I am overreacting? Thanks so much for reading this. Sincerely, Kickin' Ash.
she's a comedian, too.
No, I wrote that.
Oh.
She didn't leave a name.
Okay. I was like, whoa.
I was going to say, sincerely, my dad's an asshole.
Oh, that was even better. Kicking the ash is funny, too.
All right. So what do you think?
All right. I'm going to tell you right now.
Yep.
I don't think you're overreacting. I think all your feelings are valid. Coming from someone, I'm very close with somebody whose family is very divided, doesn't talk to each other, will fight over little things, and it'll turn into something big. Yeah. Also, it's like she said, it's grown from a point where...
Now you're just sick of it.
Yeah, and basically the straw that breaks the camel's back type of situation. Just like she said, I'm done. I've done 50 years. I've done all this like nice things for him. I've traveled. I'm helping him in his time of need, and he does this shit to me. I totally get all that. But your dad's at, like I was saying, your dad is 81, she said?
80.
80? Yeah. 80 years old. Do you want to let this...
Still a barrel of laughs, apparently, at 80.
He does got... Listen, he's got some fucking humor in there. In there. You might be mad, but he's funny.
Yeah.
But do you want to let something like this ruin the last little remaining years you have left with your dad?
Garrett, I'm impressed.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying you are going to make every choice you want. You decide. But it's not worth it, man.
I'm impressed, Garrett.
Time,
pretty good.
Time is... Mm-hmm. You get what you get, and that's it. Yeah. And some people aren't even lucky enough to have their parents around in their 80s.
Raising their hand.
In their 80s.
Yeah.
So...
Both of mine are going.
If you want to go that route, you want to cut them off completely.
I wish my parents would put ashes in my car.
Yeah. That's exactly what I'm saying. There's people out there that would kill to hang out with their dad... for one more day, and you're lucky enough to have your parents your father in his 80s.
Yeah, even though
I'm gonna tell
ass.
You my choice is, listen, suck it up. Your dad's sense of humor is not the great. It's funny, but it's not the greatest people pleaser self of humor. I don't even know the words here.
Yeah,
but cherish the last little bit of time you have left with your dad, because you're gonna miss him when he goes. That's my final.
I'm very impressed, Garrett. That was not a douchebaggery.
Sorry,
comment.
I'm trying to be honest. That's just how really I good. Feel.
This was kind of a touchy dear douchebag.
Hey, you know,
and it does deserve a heartfelt thought.
Yes,
and I will say I will base it on this. So at first, when I was reading this, I was thinking it was like a generational gap kind of thing. Yeah, because like my sense of humor is obviously going to be a lot different than my children's sense of humor.
For sure.
Okay, I'm a Gen.
You're X. Also a little darker too. You would do that, Joe.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
You have a little darker.
I can 100% see me do that.
You have a way darker sense of humor than the average
I would be
person.
Chasing my kids with the bag of fucking dust.
Like, touch it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oops. Oh, watch out. I almost dropped it.
You definitely would. That is your humor to a T.
Yeah. Right. I'm basically your father. So, so I can actually see his side of it where, you know, like I'm a Gen X. When we want to do something, we want to get it done. And...
I think boomers are even worse than Gen X. And
right.
He's a boomer, so he probably has it tenfold.
He's like, no, you know, basically he's saying, oh, yeah, I'm joking around, and he might have gone about it in a joking way. But the bottom line is he wants this thing done. Get rid of it. Like, I don't want it here. You know what I mean? Kind of thing. Yeah. So, and he's going to keep the clock.
Very, very, very straight to the point.
Yeah. So, but I see that you've been dealing this for 50 years, so you're probably roughly the same age as me, which makes you a Gen X as well. So, yeah. I'm going to go with Garrett, And speaking as someone who has lost both of their parents, and I have not always agreed with my parents, particularly my father. We had a little, when I was younger, we had, you know, we kind of butted heads, as with most boys do with their fathers. Their dads, yep. But bottom line is that he is your father. Cutting off cold turkey, I would say no. Try to cherish the last few years that you have, even though it's most likely going to be spent vacuuming ashes out of your fucking car. But yeah, like when I die, I've told you before, and I might have said it on the show, I'm going to become a tree.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a tree, whatever. But if my ashes just so happen to be found in a fucking clock or in a fucking garden shed, I mean, so be it.
I can also tell you this, though. I don't want to be in a clock.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
The sewer actually sounds kind of better than a clock.
Yeah, at least you get spread around.
You never know where you'll end up.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you
can help fertilize the earth.
Yeah, you're just kind of
going through the sewer.
You get to go everywhere.
Yeah.
Where?
Because eventually, when you get flushed down the toilet, you're going to go through the sewer processing plant.
Yep.
You're going to get filtered out.
Yep.
You're going to go from poop water to fresh water.
Yep.
And now you're part of nature.
Correct. You also could go right back into somebody's bathwater.
Yeah.
You'd be hanging out with somebody taking a bath.
Yeah. You know, it's like they say, you know, we drink the same water that the dinosaurs drink.
Yep.
It's just a circle of life. I don't know. How is it?
Then there's the dear douchebag.
There's a douchebag. Yeah. Well,
thank you so much for that.
Yeah,
that was actually a really good dear douchebags one.
Yeah. That's actually like really thought provoking. Yes. And like we said, you know, your feelings are justified because, you know, you did feel them. You know, we got to put a little Gen Z spin on it. You know,
yes.
You are justified in feeling the way you feel.
But she is, though.
Yeah.
We don't know. We don't know how that relationship.
But if I'm putting
is.
My Gen X spin into it, it's like, fucking suck it up. It's ashes. Who cares?
Yeah. It's a dead body, Dave. It's a dead body. It's not just who cares.
Of a cousin you didn't care for.
An ex-cousin.
A cousin, or not even a real cousin, a cousin by marriage that nobody really liked.
Yeah.
Because he was a douchebag.
He was a twat. What did she say?
Oh, a twat. He was a twat.
He was a twat.
Yeah. All right. So that'll do it for True Crime Douchebags. We really need a jingle. Somebody send us a jingle.
Yeah. Please.
So thank you all for hanging out with us. If you found what you heard interesting, go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Good Pods, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a review or a comment on the episode. And don't forget, head on over to criminalasfuck.com for all of your criminal AF needs, socials, Patreon, merch store, submit your mail call questions, submit your dear douchebags, you name it, it's there.
Wait, hold on. Before we take off, we got a little sentimental on the dear douchebags.
I just wanted
to say thank you guys all for listening to us this year. We've seen so much growth over this year, and, you know, it just... We never would have thought we'd get to this point when we started in Dave's spare bedroom with shitty webcams, plug-in microphones, USB microphones.
Yeah.
Thank you all to who supported the podcast, Patreon members, anybody who's donated a coffee, thrown any money towards us. It all goes back to the podcast. I just never saw this getting to this point. We started this as like, you know, I just wanted to
pass
help out Dave.
Yeah.
Pass the time. And it's just the growth has been amazing. So I just thank you to every single person who's listening, watching, whatever.
Absolutely.
Commenting on an Instagram video, anybody associated with Criminal AF.
Yeah.
And
all
the Spotify year in reviews too that were up there too. That's fucking awesome. That made us feel crazy, crazy good.
I know. Seeing all those, you know, being like a top five podcast that people listen to.
Yes.
Like, oh, you're in my top 1%. It's like, holy shit.
Yes. Yeah. Never, like I said, we would have never thought we would have got here.
No. So, and not only that, meeting people, not only in the United States, but Australia, South Africa, like fucking South Africa.
Yeah, when you see our stats and they're all over the world, you're like.
I mean, we have people from Romania, fucking Germany, Japan, India, fucking
South
everywhere.
South Africa, yeah.
Like 2 years ago, we never would imagine. Hey, we just had a decent conversation with somebody from Botswana.
Yeah.
What?
That said they're big fans.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Wild. So, yeah. So, to piggyback off of Garrett, thank you all so much.
This year has been great.
Looking forward to 2024. We have a lot of things coming up.
Should we?
You want to drop the first episode of 2024?
Okay.
Hear us out.
Hear us out. Because we're struggling with this one. I think 2024.
Ugh.
It doesn't even feel right saying it, but I feel like we have to. If it hurts us to say it, it means it's got to be done because it hasn't been done. If you look up on any podcasts, any like that, these guys won't touch it. And I feel like we have like a
Obligation.
An obligation.
It's our home state.
It's our home state, Connecticut. It was a huge effect in the world. But I think 2024, we're going to start off with Adam Lanza.
Oof, Sandy Hook.
And before you guys freak out, we're not going to glorify him. We're not going to do any of that stuff.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's a story that was so it was so horrific.
Yeah.
And it was swept under the rug so fast.
Mm.
Nobody talks about him. Nobody does anything.
Yeah.
I think his problems need to be addressed. We can tackle politics, whatever you guys want to. We're going to get into it all.
Yeah. We're going to touch on the mental health. We're going to touch on
the poor fucking victims. We're going to do it all. It's going to be a big one to start off 2024. We're kind of reworking how we do episodes.
And a lot of the red flags that were fucking missed.
Yes, correct.
Fucking missed. There was numerous red flags.
And it's hard to even find information on this guy because, like I said, people will not speak his name.
Yeah.
So we don't have producers telling us, no, you can't talk about that.
Yeah.
So we're going to do it. We feel like it's an obligation.
Yeah. It's a story that needs to be told because there needs to be awareness to it.
Yeah. And you have to remember the victims, too. Those poor kids, they're already forgotten. Like, there's so many crazy mass shootings that the victims just come and go.
Yeah.
And Sandy Hook was the first... I feel like one that, like Columbine was huge.
Sandy Hook is the largest school shooting.
Correct.
As far as deaths.
But Columbine had.
Oh, that kicked it all off. Yeah.
That kicked it off, right? That is the most famous one.
Mm-hmm.
Sandy Hook was, I think, bigger.
Oh, much bigger. Yeah.
It was the fact that they were young kids and this and that. But I feel like it was so horrific at the time that nobody could talk about it.
This is one that we've been battling probably the last 6 months.
Oh, yeah.
What should we do? Should we do this? Should we not do it? And it's just like kind of get passed on.
Because we either do the same. We're conditioned to be like,
Touchy. Yeah. But
if you look, you guys can look now. Nobody touches them.
Yeah. You might find a handful,
a subreddit form or whatever, but
a handful of videos on YouTube, maybe.
Yeah. But no big podcast is talking about them. Nothing. So.
So.
I think Criminal AF.
Criminal AF. We'll do it.
We'll do it.
And we did just drop the Uvalde story on our Patreon for the YouTube and chill. We watched that video. So we're going to go with Sandy Hook, Adam Lanza.
2024, guys.
2024. Next episode.
Listen.
Wish us luck.
Merry Christmas.
We don't get canceled.
I know. That might be our last episode. So if we're still here, we love you all.
Yep.
Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year.
I hope your 2024 is fucking fantastic.
Amazing.
Better than this year.
Yes.
Love you all. Thank you guys for all the support.
All right. With that being said, signing off from Studio Chloroform. Keep your head on a swivel and stay safe till next time.
See ya.
Now give me our theme music.
Executive producers for this episode are Christine Rivera, Beth Davis, Dusty J. Hicks, and Terry Burke Wallen. Associate producers are Paul Hodge, Tara Mazur, Chantal Daggett, Jay Rollins, Courtney Sutton, and Donnie Blake. Producers are J.D., Trent Gobble, Devin Dean, Ashley O'Connor, Lisa Perello, Alicia Knight, Maria Sleen, Chris Owen, Justin Ware, Emily White, Ian Turner, Jessica Vye, and Renee Prada. Intro and outro music by David Mercurio. Be sure to follow Criminal AF on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, X, and YouTube. Check out all of our merch and many other items at criminalafshop.com.